All right. Okay, I said I'm planning to speak on what I call the laws of confessions, because there are different types, and I want to read two portions of the scriptures to begin that. First of all, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans chapter 10. Let me start from verse 4. It says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness," that is, shall acquire life. You understand? That's what he was saying. He said, "But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus." That is, the righteousness based on faith speaks. All right? What does he say? He said, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, which is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does he say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Now, literally it says, "With the heart he believes to righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses to salvation." Now, please, I want you to understand something here. Just hold that. Let's quickly read another one, the book of 1 John. I said the laws of confessions. That may take me a few days to speak about that. Of course, we are saying the same things in different ways, trying to see different angles, all right, from the Word of God about the most important thing about life. Remember, we say it all the time. Life is a battle of what?
Words.
Yes, that's what we want to explain again, so as to lay emphasis on it. The laws of confessions. Now, verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "And this is a message we have heard from him, and we announce to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Now, I was going to verse 9. That's why I read this whole thing. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let me read verse 9 again. That the first thing God requires is a confession of sin. And then in his faithfulness and his righteousness, he will forgive our sins, and it will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that refers to, one, the tendency to perform that, okay? And then to remove the effect of the sin that we have thus performed. Now, I've read this too to just emphasize the fact that there are different kinds of confessions. Now, if you grew up maybe as a Catholic or something like that, you think about confession actually as the confession of sin alone, which is what the second part talks about. But we need to read that first part in that Romans chapter 10 to see that there's another type of confession by which is a method by which a man is saved. With the heart, he believes unto righteousness. But with this confession, he brings forth salvation. Now, what is salvation? Let's quickly describe it again. Salvation refers, in fact, I wish I had maybe Vines or Scofield Bible. But salvation, it goes beyond the issue of just being delivered from sin. Are you getting my point? In fact, righteousness is the one that speaks more about being converted away from sin. Salvation actually talks more about deliverance from the effect of sin. Therefore, as part of salvation is deliverance from poverty. As part of salvation is deliverance from death. As part of salvation is deliverance from sicknesses. As part of salvation is all good things that one can ever desire in life, which Jesus died that we might have. That is what salvation is. So what he was saying is that when a man confesses with his mouth, what he's doing is to bring forth the effect of the power of God into his visible environment. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make there? That it is bringing forth the effect of the word of God into his environment. Now, the word confess, let me just quickly define it. What it means, I don't want to be speaking Greek, but literally what it means is that to say the same thing as, that's what it means. That is, when you talk about For example, here he's talking about with the heart man believes and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That is, there is something that God expects a man to say. Please get what I'm trying to explain. That is, if when somebody says exactly what God expects him to say, then that's what we are talking about, confession. Now, that one is crucial. You see, you know, there was something I said before when I talked about Genesis chapter 1, that God, he looked and he was incubating, that is, the earth was dark from and void and darkness and of that, and the Spirit of God was over the waters, and then God said, I said that it is the eruption of what has filled his heart that we heard as let there be light. Please bear that in mind. That the same concept applies also, that anything that we are believing, that is anything that's inside our heart, until it comes out of our mouth, is not yet full. I don't know whether I get my point. I don't know whether I hear what I said. That is, you see, that's one problem with confession that a lot of people have. That's a mistake they make. Because sometimes people go to church and they say things which are at variance with what is inside their hearts. Do you get my point? You know, that a man goes to church and what they speak in the church, like we say, is Christianese. What do I mean by Christianese? Everybody says it is well. You understand? And if you say it is well, you know, well, let me put it like this. It becomes a culture. So when you get there, bless you, sir. It is well. It is well. It is well. A man is not saying it is well because he thinks it is well. He's saying it is well because it is the culture, or I mean, it's the language that is spoken there. In fact, which is the reason why we use a lot of, I'm not justifying it, we use a lot of bad language sometimes, you understand? And we really don't suffer much consequence because we are not saying the things that are inside our hearts. For example, man, that guy just killed me. That is, what it means by killed is that it could even be a good thing, man. The way the man was doing that thing, it just knocked me out entirely. And you have not yet collapsed. You get my point? You are still standing straight. The reason is that what is inside your heart is not the fact that somebody literally gave you a blow in the face and then you fell down. You understand what I'm trying to explain there? Now, that's the bad side. But if you look at it on the other side, sometimes people say things that are good, but in their heart, they do not have that thing inside there. The proper confession of the word of God is not just what a man says. It is what he believes first. Because he said, with the heart, a man believes. That one comes first, resulting in righteousness. And then with the heart, he confesses, and that results in what? In salvation. It always starts with the heart. Now, let's read this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, just one line I want to read here, but let me start from verse 7 and then jump down to verse 13, which is where I'm going. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that is surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. He said, verse 11 says, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our flesh, in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but as a consequence, life works in you. He said, but having, now notice verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. Therefore also, he said, we also believe, therefore also we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. Please notice that. He said that we also believe, therefore we speak. As it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. Now, notice this. I believe, therefore I spoke. What my emphasis in all of these things today, all right, is a necessity for the speaking. Do you get the point? I just want to first of all lay the foundation that there must be a believing in the heart, but that does not complete the whole thing. Believing in the heart is where it starts from. What am I saying? Every time we study the word of God, for example, I talked about that over the last few weeks on Saturday, the last two sessions on Saturday here, we talked about the blood of the Lamb, the fact that it has done things for us, the fact that it has liberated us, the fact that by it, Jesus who loved us has freed us from our sins. And we said that that is not just about freeing us from the habit of sin, that is one, but also from the consequences of sin. That is the second one. Now, you keep on teaching things like that. I said, for example, that blood was shed to keep the people of Israel or whoever we believe in the atonement away from the judgment that was coming upon the whole land. Do you understand my point? That judgment, we said, was coming upon the whole land of Egypt, not just the people of, not just the Egyptians alone, but even the Jews, the Israelites, were going to participate in the judgment. The difference between them and the Egyptians was that they had a word from Moses that told them how to get an atonement, to how to protect themselves by hiding literally behind the blood. Are you getting my point? Now, so we said, therefore, as a consequence, we also, who have believed in the Lord Jesus, we are covered by that blood of Jesus. Therefore, all the calamities of this earth, we have been delivered from them. So we keep on teaching things like this. You explain to people the fact that your background may be like this, or maybe they told you when you were young. I'm a very beautiful example that we gave, Peter Daniels, in which when he was a small boy, they said to him that you are brain stupid. You cannot learn anything. But the man not only learned plenty of things, people now started gathering around to hear him speak. So much that at a point in time, they paid him $1 million and he spoke for only 10 minutes. Now, that is the effect of the blood. Now, we keep teaching all of those things. Now, this is where a lot of us miss it. We believe it, and therefore, we keep quiet. Did you hear what I said? Alright? So, people, maybe you are somewhere, and somebody is attacking you. Maybe your friends. People are discussing about how horrible the country is. You believe, yet, okay, let me not use the word therefore. You believe, yet, you keep quiet. But the Bible says that, yet, yes, believing has produced for you what it calls righteousness. Righteousness, we're not discussing that now, but that has to do with God's opinion of you. That is, when God saw you first, he said, this is not a good man. Then you believe, and he looked at you again and said, that woman is a good woman, as an example. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is the stamp of approval that God puts on your person. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is the reason maybe somebody, assuming that I'm standing on the road, somebody says, please, can I come into your house? And I look at him from top to bottom. Who are you? Why should you come into my house? You understand my point? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You don't even look like, maybe you smell. You smell like you drank something. Maybe this man is half drunk. Why should I allow you to come into my house? Then, there and then, my phone rings. Now, listen to this scenario. And somebody said, please, maybe a very good friend of mine, Chuk, say, hey, Banky, how now, please, there's one of my friends. He's supposed to wait for me. I'm on my way. And I told him to wait for me in your house. I said, what is his name? He tells me. He describes it, and he fits the fellow who is standing in front of me. Do you get my point? All of a sudden, my perception of the smell, which I thought was alcohol, would change. I just thought it was his perfume. It's not his smell, it's alcohol. Now, the perfume way in the way here, you understand? Maybe it's a very cheap one, but you understand? It's alcohol-based, all right? And then suddenly, he's welcome in my house. That is called righteousness. That is, my opinion of him has changed. Before, he wasn't welcome. He was a stranger. He was alienated from the commonwealth of Banky. You understand what I'm saying? Like the Bible says, commonwealth of Israel. He was a stranger, alienated from God. Then when a friend makes intercession for him, which is what Jesus did for all of us, suddenly he's acceptable. Oh, you can come in. Okay, you are so-and-so person's friend. Yes, he called me that you are going to be waiting here. Please come inside, sit down. You like a drink? Suddenly I'm welcoming the fellow and I'm very, very happy about his presence. That is what is called righteousness. Righteousness is not the good works that you did. I don't want to tell you righteousness now. I'm writing on it maybe for our next magazine. You understand? Righteousness is not the good works that you did. Righteousness is acceptance with God. Now, there are two ways by which you gain acceptance with God. One, there is righteousness by works, which is what the Israelites were under. We just read the just in Romans chapter 10. Those who are under the law attain righteousness by that. They live by that law. There's righteousness by the law. So that it is not works you did, but the fact that you did the works of the law, which God said was okay under their covenant. That's what was one. But then that hardly ever works because no man ever kept the covenant, the laws completely. But there is another form of righteousness, which is righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. What that means simply means that, you look, now this fellow is not acceptable before God. Then somebody preaches the gospel to him. Then having done nothing as works, more than believing, he believes instantly he's welcome in the house of God. Are you getting my point? Now, that's what righteousness is. Now, you can break it further down also, because in a lot of areas in our lives, we have not yet believed. A lot of people, even though sometimes they have heard the word of God, they still believe in their hearts. Maybe a friend comes and say, oh boy, I just won American Visa lottery. You see, the rejoicing is as deliverance has come for this fellow. The man has not yet believed. No, he can say all the things he wants to say. He has not yet believed. Let me tell you, as I am right now, nobody calls me and says, I just won Visa lottery and I'm particularly joyful. It's just, you may have said to him, well, I'm packing, I'm moving to Calabar. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not a bad thing. No. Is that just a bad thing?
No.
It's just one of those things. I have friends and relatives who have taken that path. But it doesn't cross my mind that any one of them is luckier than you sitting in front of me. In fact, one of my wife's friends recently, with all her children, the husband and Yorkshire boy, located them abroad. My wife was worried for days. Until she caught the guy. Tell me what informed that decision. Because she didn't think it was a good decision at all. Now, that's her opinion. You get my point? Which I also agree with, actually. But that's our family's opinion. You understand my point? The man, something may be different. I'm trying to bring an issue here. So, you see, how you react to situations, actually, that's what really tells you what you have believed. Now, I'm using as an illustration. So, there are parts in life. So, you are in Nigeria right now, but you've heard a lot of the gospel, but you have not yet fully believed it. You may not realize it. And because you have not yet fully believed it, please listen to this. All right? In that area, you have not yet attained righteousness. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, let me tell you something about... Hey, I'm not supposed to be talking about... I'm supposed to talk about the laws of confession, but I'm on it. Let me just stay there. Now, righteousness is interesting. It's a defense. Righteousness delivers from death. Death, I've described here again and again, death does not just mean that somebody collapsed and died, or he's 80 years old, he expired, his heart was tired, his brain was tired, a liver was tired, and then he's ending. That's part of death. Is that okay? Death is beyond that. Death afflicts businesses. It afflicts living people. Persons are alive. Yet, he's hopeless. That's death. You know what I'm explain? Everything he's doing, it does not work. That is death. It afflicts marriages. Now, you know what that the death is. I've described it before. Now, so when righteousness delivers from death, it means in, for example, the area of prosperity that I just mentioned as an example, I'm making progress in life. If you have not yet believed the word of God in that area totally, you have not yet attained righteousness in that area, and therefore your deliverance is not complete. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It is not as if God has not delivered in Christ Jesus. But with the heart, a man must believe. What do I mean to be accepted? Simple. That, you know what? I was giving an example earlier by a friend, a man standing in front of me. I don't let him into my house. And then he attains righteousness by a phone call from a friend of mine. And then he's accepted. In the same manner, servants or slaves are standing. And the Lord says to one, you be in charge of one city. You be in charge of two cities. You be in charge of three cities. Or be in charge of 10 cities. All right? Actually, on the surface, what we see is that the man has prospered. I don't know whether you get my point. Now, if God looks at somebody and says, you wicked servant, you cannot be in charge of anything. What that means is that fellow is not acceptable before God. Essentially, he has not attained righteousness in that area. You are getting what I'm going to explain. So if we have not attained righteousness, what it means, therefore, is that there are certain things in God we cannot step into. That's just what it means. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is not what I have done right. Righteousness is that God says, it's okay, you are acceptable. You understand what I'm going to explain? It's God's opinion. So if God looks at a man, looks at a woman, and says, good girl, good boy, even if you haven't done anything, it is acceptable. That's what the Bible said, that and Abraham believed God, and God said, this is my man. Let me put it like that. I don't know what you understand my point. In Bible language, it means, it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. But what God was saying, in effect, is that Abraham believed me, I like this fellow. You get my point? Now, so it's in our heart. Whatever position our heart is, when it comes to faith in what God has spoken, is what determines whether we have attained righteousness. Not as if we have done perfect works. Because in Christianity, righteousness is by faith. What does faith mean? God says it, I believe it. Are you getting my point? If I have not believed in that area, or I have not fully believed, then I have not. Now, you know, we are putting it down. Now, first, as an individual, you are righteous because of your faith, generally, in Christ Jesus. But in different aspects of life, it's as you attain into righteousness that you step into. Let me say that God is now ready to accept you into certain areas. Now, that's one. That's how I'm trying to explain that. But now, this is the issue about the law of confession in that area. This is how it goes. One, there are two sides to it. One, this is the first side I want to explain. And that is that it is the expression of the fullness of righteousness. That is, salvation comes. We know what salvation means now. It's a manifestation of God's grace. It's a manifestation of God's deliverance. It is the deliverance of God manifested for us to see that we are experiencing. That's what salvation is. It is it's God's healing. Now, salvation comes by, he said, with the mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. Now, like I said, there's one side of it I want to bring out. Salvation comes, therefore, in that situation, it is an expression, that's confession, is an expression of the fullness. Because there's something about life. Eh? One of the things that easiest to walk in life is deception. What do I mean by deception? Deception is not that you are lying to yourself. If you are lying to yourself, that one is a bad thing. Deception is worse than lying. A man who is lying knows the truth. The person who is deceived thinks the lie is correct. Do you get the point? A man who is lying, he knows the truth, but he has chosen to utter something at variance, all right, with the truth. But a man who is deceived, he thinks what he's saying is correct. That is what is called deception. He has been persuaded about something that is a lie. So he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. That is, many people, all right? Many people, they hear the word a lot, they go to church a lot, and they are deceived that they are good Christians. Now, remember, it's deception. When I'm emphasizing deception, that he's sure that he's a good Christian. She's persuaded that I love the word of God. And James said, no, you can be so attentive to the word, yet you don't love the word of God. That the only time you will know that you love the word of God is when you are a doer. That the word actually literally affects what you do. That until that time, no matter how much you pay attention to it, don't deceive yourself. Are you getting my point? Now, James was not saying, listen to this, don't be a hearer of the word. But there is a difference between a hearer and a doer. A doer is not somebody who, please, follow me carefully as I'm saying this. A doer is not somebody who does the word. Just like that. What I mean is that, because there are imitators of the word. You understand my point? So, there are people who imitate. And a doer is not necessarily... Now, let me put it like this. For example, now, Usain Bolt. How many of us know of Usain Bolt? You know, he can run very fast. But you know, most of the time, he's not running. True or false? Most of the time, he's either sitting down, lying down, or jogging slowly. But he doesn't run most times. He runs for maximum a few hours of the 24 hours in a day. But let me ask you a question. Is he a runner? Yes. When he's sleeping, is he a runner? Yes. When he's eating, is he a runner?
Yes.
When he's watching TV, is he a runner?
Yes.
So it's not the running at the point that makes him a runner or not. It's that he's a runner. That's why he runs when he has to run. I'm a preacher. Most of the time, I'm not preaching. I'm writing. I'm eating. I work in the teaching hospital. I'm working. I'm talking to people. I'm just with my wife. I'm talking to my children. I'm playing with my children. Or I'm watching TV. I'm reading. But many times a week, for a few hours, I preach. Like I'm preaching right now. Yet you call me a preacher. Please, I'm really having an issue here. So a doer of the word, let's get back to it, is something that you are. Because you are a doer
you will do the word. It is not the doing of the word that first of all makes you a doer. It is because you are a doer that you do the word. A doer is doer. Sorry, please, I have to invent a word now. Doership is an attitude. Do you understand what I'm saying? What did I say? Doership is an attitude. Thank you. I don't know in which of the books or tracks I discussed this. One of my books or tracks, I discussed it. That a doer is actually what I call, using the scriptures, is a second hearer. At least, no, not a second, a double hearer. You understand? He said, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, to obey all these commandments that I'm commanding you today, thou shalt hearken diligently. The Lystra Hebrew says it like this. Thou shalt listening to the word of the Lord thy God. In Hebrew language, hearken diligently. All right? Which if I tell you, if I ask you now, what is hearken diligently? You say, it means to obey. Pay attention to and obey. But in Hebrew, literally, what Moses said to them is that, thou shalt listening to the word of the Lord thy God. That is, the word, once you say listening, it implies, it's different from just listening. That's why the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear. It's for you to even hear the first time, you must have an ear at all. But for him to say, he that has an ear, let him hear. It means that amongst us who are hearing, some of them don't have ears. You get the concept? Now, what is in the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I described it. About being what I call the double hearing. And that's why you hear that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, this is what we read a lot of times. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I've studied the scriptures and I've come to the conclusion. What the hearing and hearing is one is that's what is together. There's no command between it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. That is, it's an attitude. Who's a hearing hearer? A hearing hearer is a person who builds his life. Remember, it's an attitude, not the action. Who builds his life on what he's hearing? But let me give you an example. On Sunday mornings, most people go to church. Going to church or coming to hear the word of God is with which attitude? If you go and read Ezekiel, one of my favorite portions of the scriptures, it's Ezekiel 33. I'm surprised. From verse 37, but as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens, please notice this, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each of his brothers, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. The people are saying, come and hear the message that comes from the Lord. These are the people of Israel, and they gather to Ezekiel chapter 33, I'm in verse 31. And they come to you as people come, and sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. And behold, you are to them like a beautiful song, by one who has a beautiful voice, and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. That is, how do I know the kind of person that they are? They hear those words, but they don't practice them. But they come to church regularly. Did you notice that? In fact, they will tell themselves, oh boy, new revelation day. You don't hear Pastor Ezekiel. I beg. Let me go first to church next Sunday. And they dress up sharp, and they are the first to get there. But God was saying, Ezekiel, you are to them an entertainer. You understand the point? That's why I said here, you are to them like Two-Face and the bunch gathering together every Sunday morning. That is, you entertain them. This is the point. They are hearers of the word. They enjoy it. It sounds nice in their ears. And that's all the relationship they have with it. What about doers? The difference between a doer and a hearer is not perceptible when they are sitting down in church. It is an attitude in the heart in which another person comes. Ezekiel is about to start preaching. He wants to hear the correction that God is sending to him through Ezekiel so that he can correct his life. You get the point? It's an attitude.
And the only time, now that's where we started from, the only time you will know the difference is when the word speaks to a particular situation. One guy goes away, having enjoyed the delivery. Man, that guy's rhyme, man. Oh, my father. He knows how to rhyme. He delivers this word in a manner that it sounds sweet to the ears. And then when he gets home, he does his business. He lives his life like nobody said anything. The other fellow, whether he likes the way it was spoken or not, is not the issue. When he gets home, maybe Ezekiel has said something like, husbands, love your wives, as an example. The other fellow gets home, and the unloving nature he had towards his wife is not altered. Now, this is not about he's struggling. He's not struggling. The idea is that Ezekiel didn't mean it at home. It's a church matter. Do you understand my point? But the other fellow is like, let's even assume he's not a very good man in quotes. Like, he's struggling. He's struggling. Tell his wife, were it not for the thing Ezekiel has been saying, I would have been on you right now. But because Ezekiel has said this, I will try. Now, he may not have perfected it, but you see, the words of Ezekiel, they matter to him. And he does not want to offend the correction that came from the mouth of Ezekiel. That is what the Bible calls a second hearing. Otherwise known as what? A doer. Please, I've tried to emphasize the fact that it is not, hey, I must be a doer of the word. I must be a doer of the word. Let me try and do the word. If you do it like this, then you will get this result. No, it's an attitude. Whether you say that or not, when the word is coming forth, you are that is your own is that this is not entertainment. This is not just church. This is life. You know, most people are hearers of the words of doctors. If doctors say that, if you chop salt, you are dead. That's it too. You know what's on salt? No. I'm not eating salt. I don't want to eat salt, and that's it. Why? Because when the doctor spoke, and I heard the story of my friend who heard me wrongly. That I said biscuits were better than normal food. Now, do you think I said that? How can I just wake up and tell the man that biscuits are better than normal food? But that's what he heard me say. Over the next few days, I'll see him always munching biscuits. I mean, we're students in the University of Benin. We'll go to Buka. Bros no go follow us. We'll go there, mend, you know, garri with better soup. Boy, go buy biscuit, they chop off. Then one day I told him, well, why are you chopping biscuit so much? Now, so you like this thing. He said, well, you're not the one that said thing is good. I said to him, biscuit is good. Actually, he heard me wrongly. Days before we were discussing, and I talked about refined foods. That if you eat food like biscuits that are refined, you eat it, it doesn't have much fiber. So everything you eat is absorbed. If I brought up the gist was, I think for Olusegun Kanko, they were detained. Some of those people were detained under Idi Agbon and Buhari. And they said that the toilet facilities were so bad, so that they wouldn't have to use the toilet, they ate only biscuits. That was what the gist was about. My friend didn't hear that. He heard that the digestion of biscuit is better than that of beans and yam. And this is interesting, but instantly his life changed. If more people change their lives like that, when the word of God comes forth, more of us will see the result of what that word is preaching. That's what I'm saying. A doer is what? An attitude. Many hearers are deceived into thinking that they are good Christians. Remember, deception means you are persuaded. There is no lie. You are sure of what you are saying. You know what you are saying. Except that you are lying. You understand my point? So James said like this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you are hearer only, you are deceiving yourself. That's what he was saying. That's how I've tried to explain all of these things. So if a woman who is deceiving himself or herself can never, you know, because you can't know that you are deceiving yourself. It's not obvious because you think you are right. He now said, this is how you know whether you are deceiving yourself or not. Just watch when the word comes. Watch it for a while. Then watch your life. If that word doesn't change your life, you are a hearer, you are not a doer. Once you find that, simple. This is the solution. My own solution. I'm not sure James said that. You kneel down. You don't just say, hey, no, let me start doing now. No. You kneel down and repent of being a hearer and convert yourself to a doer. It's by repentance and prayer. It's not by trying to do the word. I hope you're getting my point. No, it is by repentance and prayer that you now become a doer. A doer does because he's a doer. He's not a doer because he does. A doer does because he's a doer. But he's not a doer because he does. But doing allows him to know that he's a doer. Now write it on your wall. Now we're talking about the laws of confession. Let me get back. I said all of this to state my law of confession. Now this is a law of confession I want to explain. Confession is not just about, let me just say what is right. That's the first law. Bring it up. It is a manifestation of the fact that the heart of the doing man is full of the word of God. And out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth now speaks. But he is careful. This is the law of confession again. He is careful to ensure that the mouth speaks and is not restrained. Are you getting my point? Now, let me explain what I mean. Now, first thing about the confession rule here is this. It is with the mouth we utter words which are in keeping with what the word of God says, and then we'll see the result in our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying there? That's one. Therefore, the sign, the doing sign, number one doing sign for a doer that the word is in his heart is the fact that it spills out of his mouth. It's not an effort. It's what? A spillage. You get what I'm saying? When it's full, it comes out. So confession there is important in that it is a true manifestation of the righteousness. Because if it does not happen, then that fellow has not fully believed. You know, that's why I tried to explain the difference between hearer and doer. The doer man will naturally utter those words out of his mouth, out of her mouth. If a woman is truly a doer, one of the first doings that you will do is you utter. That's the first thing. Then the next point, next law is this. Sometimes when the mouth is full, circumstances and environment wants to shut it so it does not talk. For example, you don't want to offend somebody. Are you getting my point? I don't want to offend somebody. Let them not say now that this is how Christians behave. You are persuaded about it, but you don't want to offend somebody. They are speaking into your life. They are giving you counsel about how hopeless your situation is. And you are sitting down there and nodding. Why? Because they are your friends. You don't want to get them angry. Are you getting my point? If you realize, that's another law of confession, of this part of confession, that without my uttering it, salvation will not be manifested. When they press you like that, utter it. Actually, for a true doer of the word, it has to be an effort to keep it back. If it is not an effort to keep it back, your heart is not full of it. And that effort to keep it back is the one I'm saying, don't give. Don't put in that effort. If your parents gather and explain to you, your own don't finish as long as situation of the country is like this. You know, they are my parents now. If you say these kind of things now, they just do but they are saying it to you every other day. Yes, your righteousness is complete. But without a confession, do you get my point? There will be no manifestation of salvation. You owe it to yourself. Let's not even talk about them now. To nicely explain to them that what they are saying is wrong. That indeed your life is not finished. Are you getting my point? You should explain to them, because that's part of preaching the gospel. Part of preaching the gospel, you know, the most ineffective way of preaching the gospel is still a way of preaching. The most ineffective is to go and just knock on a stranger's door. Repent or you go to hell. That one, you need a double dose of the anointing to have any effect. Do you understand my point? The one that's most effective, Peter said, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we saw with our eyes, which our hands handled, that's the one we are delivering to you. That one has a different effect. When the Holy Spirit came down and Peter began to speak, thank God for the anointing to speak. But the most important thing was that Peter knew what he was talking about. And that's why he began to speak. And that's the most effective way to preach the gospel. So when someone, when people sit you down, close friends, family, and they are trying to explain to you that, oh boy, oh girl, nothing for you. And your heart is full of the word. I just want to offend my father. I bet there are times you should offend him in God. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, under God you offend him. When did you start this Christianity itself? I was a Christian before I married your mother. But some of the things we will know now, I don't know. You say very nicely, yes, that I know, but, you know, like this is one of the jokes. You say that this is the religion. Maybe it's a church now. Maybe, you know, a lot of young people went to Pentecostal churches before a lot of them moved back to Anglican churches. You know, people come out of Orthodox churches, Catholics, Anglicans, all those different places. And the argument, this is the religion of your father. Now, let's ask them, where's the religion of my grandfather? After all, my father left the religion of his own father. So he should know that what goes around comes around. That the way he left the religion of my grandfather, maybe it is time for me to leave his own religion too. And like I always say, don't worry. I'm still in the religion of my father. It's not faith in Christ. And we are still there now. We have not gone anywhere. One day my mother-in-law and I were talking. Say that I took my wife, because of me, I'm taking my wife away from Catholic Church. I said, to where? I said, we haven't gone anywhere. Don't be here with this. So. That she knows that we are going to come back. I said, come back to what? We have not gone anywhere now. Have we gone anywhere? No, be here with this. I just want to argue with myself. I'm not arguing with you. We have not gone anywhere. Is it not faith in God? Now we do. Virgin Mary, we all believe about the. Yeah, we believe. Don't you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Of course, we all believe. I haven't gone anywhere. Are we going to heaven? Yes. Was Peter a disciple of Jesus Christ, an apostle? Yes. Was the first pope? Well, it's a matter of opinion. But we're all together. I mean, family people can have small differences, don't be so. I said, we have not gone anywhere. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, this is one I don't make. All right? So there are times people put pressure on you, on your faith, on what you believe, which is your righteousness. Are you getting my point? You don't always keep quiet. You shouldn't always keep quiet. Because usually for those who are really full of the word, it's an effort. And I'm telling you today, don't put in that effort. Because with that confession, you are going to produce salvation in your life. Let me stop there, all right, because of time. But let me summarize. We'll continue next time, okay? I was talking about the laws of confession. What I've had to explain today is this. Confession is when that there are different types. We read two different scriptures. We're talking about this one that produces one kind of salvation. The other one also produces salvation, but it's a different type. But there's confession that produces salvation, which is confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I read the other one, confession of sin, which we'll talk about later, okay? But concerning this, we say righteousness. I define righteousness again. What righteousness is? Righteousness just simply means accepted by God the Father. That's what it means. But there are different means of attaining righteousness. There's the righteousness of the law, but there is the God kind of righteousness. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. And that one is from faith to faith. As a result of righteousness, people now do righteous works. Now, I'm not talking about the works of righteousness now, but you see that each righteousness has its works. You understand my point? The other one has its works, right? The one of faith also has its works. So, any man who does the work of that righteousness, it is a sign that indeed he is righteous. And I'm not adding this one to it now. One of the works of righteousness is confession, because we said that when it fills the heart, one of the manifestations that it has really filled the heart, that it's really there in the heart, which is the difference between a doer and a hearer. A hearer doesn't have it in the heart. He or she had it in the ears. It did not enter into the heart. A doer is somebody that has it inside the heart. And one of the first doings of the doer is that because it's inside the heart, it comes out of the mouth. And the emphasis there is this. That is one way by which you will know that you are not just a hearer, but you are indeed a doer. Because what comes out of you naturally is in agreement with that word which you heard. Are you getting my point? Like we said, therefore, if somebody, maybe assume you and your friends, you play Visa Lottery as an example, the other fellows win, you don't win. It's okay, you know? Like it's just okay. It's not a cry matter or a you are lucky matter. It's just okay. You are going that way, I am not going that way. Simple, that's just all it is. And it comes out of you naturally. naturally. You understand? Just give an example again. Once somebody told me that a man, a pastor, was counseling a woman. The lady wanted to marry. Well, I don't know whether she wanted to marry or one guy wanted to marry her. No, there's a difference. There are times you are the one that wants to marry the fellow, but there are times the fellow is the one that wants to marry you. It happens, okay? But whichever way, whoever wants to marry who, it doesn't matter, as long as you marry her at the end of the day, okay? So anyway, she was wanted to marry her. Anyway, I met her pastor. And this is a pastor of a Pentecostal church. And that one said, the man is not a believer. But he's a nice guy. What is he?
Nice guy.
And in Christianity, one thing we hate is nice guys. We don't want nice guys. What we want are men of God. Then we'll teach them niceness. The word of God will teach them niceness. We produce niceness out of them. Your natural niceness can kill. It's unrestrained. We want the niceness that the Holy Spirit brought forth. That one, Holy Spirit can control it. I just need to drop that one again. There's no, the man is nice. Forget him. In Jesus' name, forget. In Jesus' name, do what?
Forget.
It's true now. Here, I'd rather have a Jaguda who believes in Jesus Christ. True believing, you know what I mean? Because the Jaguda-ness is on his way out. Because Esau, now Bobo nice. Jacob was the original Jaguda in the family. Do you get my point? It's true now. Okay. Anyway, I'm not saying Christian men shouldn't be nice. That is so. In fact, I tried my best to be nice to my wife. And I'll be nice to her throughout till tomorrow, till even death itself has to beg me to do us part. So, I don't think Christian men are not nice. In fact, I command all men listening to me to be nice in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm just saying that niceness must be out of the spirit. We won't marry you because we are nice. We are going to marry you because you have faith. Because once you have faith, niceness is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good health is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Spirituality, everything added together is your portion. But if you are just nice, no Holy Spirit inside it, all you have is just niceness. It won't carry you anywhere. You will go to hell with your niceness. No, we need to keep saying these things. Anyway, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. That's not my message. My message is that the pastor that the young woman went to meet said to her, hey, it doesn't matter as long as the guy is nice. But he comes to church on Sunday and says, God said in the book of Revelation, he does not believe. He does not believe. It is not what he says. That one a job. Yeah, you get my point? What is this one? Job. Now job. Without saying it, man no go work. So we'll come here, say what we want to say, so we can get paid. So he does the job during the day. When you want to know what's really inside his heart, the confession that he's making is when, let's tell us, hey, if a guy is nice, it does not matter. It matters. Oh, Nanu? It matters. Somebody said, what's wrong with marrying a non-believer? He said, if you marry a non-believer, you will take the devil for a father-in-law. Gospel. I just as an illustration anyway. When we are, we'll put a lot of things here and there. What I'm going to explain is that it is that utterance, that confession, that's a reflection of what is inside the heart. So when we make the right confessions, it is because it is full in our heart. And then we receive the reward, which is called salvation. Are you getting the point? And I also said as we closed, I was closing it, that listen, the words must come out. It is confession unto salvation. And sometimes life wants to choke the word from coming out. And I said, don't put in the effort, because for a real doer, when the word has filled the heart, it's an effort to prevent it from talking. I remember this, my wife. Before she became my wife, when she was still my observation, you understand my point? I said, they look up. One day we were talking. So she decided to tell a man who's chasing her to marry that this man self, pastor, you are too full of yourself. Did you hear that? See, you almost collapsed when you heard it. I said, what? Then you think you put on your head, you're just too full of yourself. Who do you mean full of myself? Now let me add new words to it. When Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, was he full of himself? No. It is the truth. If it's the truth, it's the truth. So I said, okay, I've heard you. I went home. And that next day or 2 days later, I saw her again. I said, wait, I thought about that thing you said. And I've come to the conclusion that you're not right. I am not full of myself. I'm just full of God. Also, I didn't tell her this, but I'm telling you now. John G. Lake said, you can't have power with God and not brag on it. That anyone who is not bragging on God does not have any power with him. Sure. Now she kept quiet. Said, this one is unrepentant. And as a matter of fact, well, the things I was saying then, they are the reasons why she can't marry me eventually. Anyway, don't let women just sway you like this. Oh. Some of these talks are testing. Oh. When you agree with her like this, you don't lose. He said, it's true, I'm full of myself. From now, I'll be humble in thy presence. That's it. You don't lose me that. I told you about one lady, my friend. She said that there's one brother that has been chasing her for years. I said, mind this Bobona, this guy really like people are a correct guy. He said, you know, bank is like this. That day we're walking on the road. He said, like the way we're walking, like, if he's the one now, if I tell him to leave this side and come to this side, do you know he will cross over without questioning? And that was the problem. That was the reason. She didn't marry him. We attended her wedding. My wife and I. She didn't marry that guy. Marry somebody else. So some of this talk. Now what? Testing. The woman wants to know, are you sure what you are saying? I used to talk plenty big. You know? So my wife was in the seat. See this guy. He passed us at the seance. But the talk, according to Smith Wigglesworth, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Those are the kind of things I used to say. And this woman, which kind of creature is this man? And I refuse to change my mind. Don't let life make you change your mind if your talk is based upon the word of God. You hear what I said? Don't let life make you change your mind if your talk, in fact, don't let them make you change your talk if that talk is based upon the fullness of the word that is inside your heart. Because when you continue to talk it, believe me, salvation is what it will produce. I hope you've gotten my point. Can we just bow down our heads? Just say, Lord, I thank you for righteousness and I thank you for salvation. Just say, Lord, I thank you for righteousness and I thank you for salvation.